I feel like it's a blowout at halftime. It's about 48 to nothing right now. I don't think we're going to need overtime. Certainly have enjoyed the good preaching that Brother Philip has brought forward. I was hoping that I would get to hear him this morning. Hadn't heard a good brother in a while. Used to get to hear him all the time. Lord has blessed him with a great gift. But I was walking by him this morning, and I could see him just filled up. I could see him just, I was like, I'd really like to be there when he explodes and lets that out, you know. Because he's heard a few sermons this week and or weekend, and I think he has enjoyed the services. And I like to be around him when he lets that out. So we thank the Lord for that. Y'all please be praying for us. Have wrestled in my mind what to try to bring forth this morning. And please pray for us. Please, every time. I know we say this, and sometimes it sounds routine. Please, every time, understand that the Lord is not in the matter. It's all for naught. It's just a lecture. And I'm going to tell you, my gift is one of those gifts that if the Lord's not in the matter, I don't have an intellect. You don't want to listen to me. I mean, you're just going to hear a bunch of Louisiana talk, and you'll be like, this guy needs to sit down. So please pray for us. If you have Bibles with you, let's go to Matthew chapter 28. I heard Matthew chapter 28 has some very, it's a lot of preachable things here. It says in the first verse, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. This is after our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ lived a perfect life, 33 and a half years, after he was put on a cross, after nails were put through his hands, through his feet, a crown of thorns upon his head, after those prophecies that have been prophesied, like Psalm 22, Psalm 129, Isaiah 53, Psalm 69, just over and over. The Old Testament, after they all that had been fulfilled. And when you talk about prophecies of the Lord, one of my favorites, and it really shouldn't be my favorite because of what it's prophesying about, but for some reason one of my favorites is Psalm 129. And it's talking about how the plowers made long their furrows upon his back. And what that's talking about is as the Lord was being scourged by Pilate's officers there, how whenever they took the whip and they had the shards of the glass and the metal at the ends of that whip, and they took that whip and they brought it down like that, how that the shards of glass and the metal would just dig into his back and just come down as if somebody had took a plow and earthen ground. Can you imagine that? See, the plowers made long their furrows. And it's talking about how they took that whip and they took those shards of glass and they just ripped through his skin as if we took a plow and ran it through soft, fertile ground. Just think about that, just ripping open. I mean... I really love the picture of the body, but maybe we shouldn't picture that all that much. But after all the prophecies have been fulfilled, and our Lord gave up the ghost, and what's important for us to understand, he was conceived of a virgin. He was perfect. He was sinless. So the only, it says that the wages of sin is death. And he suffered death, did he not?
Yeah.
So what's the only way that he could have died if he was sinless? He had to have sin on him, right? How did sin get there? It was laid upon him. Every sin that you've committed, every sin that I've committed, every sin that all the elect ever committed was laid upon our Savior. That's rough. You know why? I've committed a lot of sins. Probably a whole lot more than y'all have. And I don't want to have to bear my own. But think about this. Have y'all ever had a good day? I'm talking about a really, like, not sinless day, but pretty close to it. Y'all ever had one of them? Y'all ever been to a meeting like this all week and you hadn't even flipped on that television? Hadn't even flipped on that radio? Hadn't flipped on things where they glorify the the things of this world, and our conscience and our hearts get seared with that hot iron, and we can just listen to all types of ungodliness and it not bother us. Have you ever had a weekend not like that? Have you ever had a weekend where you're just sensitive to the things of the Holy Ghost? I tell you, a few years ago, one of the first meetings I went to out of state, I went to a camp meeting out in Texas. And man, it was the greatest thing I'd ever been to. And it was preaching all day, singing all day, eating all day. Wow, it was awesome, you know? And it was good preaching, too. It wasn't like that meeting Brother Philip went to. It was good. I mean, these brethren were blessed. And I remember wrestling. At that time, I was wrestling with the word world and trying to understand how do you reconcile the word world with the truth. And I remember the first preacher got up there. Have you ever had it like that? You're wrestling with something in your mind and you don't know how to reconcile it. First preacher got up there, he preached on the word world, and he used to be a Pentecostal preacher, so he kind of got live with it too, you know. And I was like, yeah, that's good. And just the whole meeting, I was just thinking about the Lord and just like, man, I'm in paradise. You can't get no better. And then we came back home. And whenever we got back home, first thing I did, y'all, of course, you know, the first thing I did, went in my study and started reading the Bible, right? No. First thing I did, I got in my study, all right? I studied that recliner. And I sat in that recliner, clicked on the television, and one of these god-awful commercials with some scantily clad female on there, and I seen that, and it just smote my heart. I want you to say, I had been away from that mess for 3-4 days. And something that usually wouldn't have bothered me because I'm so spiritually, calloused over half the time. When I seen that, I was like, oh my goodness. What I want you to understand, the point I'm trying to make is, I wasn't perfect for 3 days. I was living all right for 3 days. And this sin right here smote me. This one act of sin smote me to where I felt like I was going to die. But Jesus Christ our Lord was perfect from eternity. You understand what I'm saying? He's the Son of God. He is God. And when He was conceived of the Holy Ghost, a body was manifested for us. He was God manifest in the flesh. And Him as a man lived a perfect life of 33 and a half years. And all of our sins was laid upon Him. How do you think He felt? You see my point? I felt like I was going to die, and I'm a sinner. And sin was laid upon me. How do you think He felt? That's the reason He was able to say, my God, why has Thou forsaken me? Why did He say that? You ever thought about that? He wanted us to consider what was going on. He wanted us to consider the sin that He was bearing for you and for I. Oh my goodness. Why is it important for us to understand that? Why is it important for us to understand what the Lord bore for us? I'll give you a quick example. I'm not going where I thought I was going. This preaching thing I had not figured out yet. Back home, the church that I pastored, got there one day and we had services and we ate lunch and I went and carried one of the sisters' food back out to her car and I came back in and there was this box sitting at the table where I was sitting at the same seat. And I said, well, what's this? She said, well, that's yours. And long story short, she had bought me a 3-month supply of Nutrisystem out of the love of her heart. She bought me this 3-month supply of Nutrisystem. Y'all don't know what that is. That's a weight loss system. And with doing that, I lost about 70 pounds. Some of y'all think, wow. I mean, you're trying to put 70 more pounds on, and like, whoa. But my whole point is this. I've been on a lot of diets. You can ask Brother Philip. I've done a lot of extreme things. I've spent a lot of money trying to lose weight. But this thing, except for this weekend and last weekend, I got good excuses why, but I haven't been on it much the last couple of weeks. But anyway, this thing, I have tried harder than any other thing I ever had. And the reason that is, I want you to understand, the reason that is because every time I think about eating an extra, or eating a cookie, or eating a brownie, or putting a piece of fried chicken on my plate or something like that. You know what I think about? I think about the love this sister showed towards me. Towards me. And that inspires me. That motivates me. That gives me the initiative to want to do better. Now, how do you think she would feel if the next time, and I actually did this last week, was at association, and she was there, and I told myself I was going to get off the diet for that association and this association, and I didn't even think about it. And I've used this as an example before, and I did it, and it made me feel so bad. I mean, I really like cream corn. I mean, especially fresh cream corn. And I just piled it on. And there was some other stuff there, and I was just piled on. And it wasn't really as much as it looked like, but there was just a big pile of stuff on my plate. And I sat down right beside her, and she looked at that, and she didn't say nothing. She looked like this. And I got smoke in my heart. You understand what I'm saying? Because I didn't want her to think that I was belittling her gift that she gave me. I didn't want her to think, oh, Brother Danny really thought a lot of what I gave him. Here he is just piling it on, and he's not even ashamed about it. He's going to put it right in front of my face. You know what? Think about the gift that the Lord has given us. You know, people say, we need to preach more duty. You need to preach more duty. Make us do better. You know what should make the child of God do better? Knowing that the love that the Lord has for them. Not because scare them or whatever like that. I tell you, there's been places that they don't know how to preach time salvation the right way. That they'll tell you, I've heard it, they'll tell you that you better watch out what you do here because you don't want to get to heaven and regret the things you've done in the past. You know what heaven is? It's satisfaction. I always want to say sanctification. I don't know why I want to do that. I get sanctification and that mixed up. But it's satisfaction. And if I'm looking back at the mistakes I made in my life when I'm in heaven, that's not satisfaction, brothers and sisters. But I will tell you the reason we should do good here in this life is to please our Master. And you know what happens whenever we please our Master? He comes down amongst us. He gets closer to us. And since you draw nigh unto God, guess what's going to happen? He'll draw nigh unto you. I like that. Why are you here this morning? You want to be by your Master, don't you? And it's important for us to understand, in our life, every step we take closer to our Master, we're actually gaining two steps. Because you're coming one, and He's coming one. And it's so important. So I need Him in my life. But we also need to understand, whenever we turn around and run from Him, we're not going to feel Him. Whenever we flee from the right way, we're not going to feel Him. He's not going to reward disobedience. Don't be mocked. Whatsoever a man reapeth, that shall he sow. You sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. You sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap that. What does that mean? When I seek spiritual things, I'm going to have spiritual benefits. You know what the Bible says about seeking the Lord? It says that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seeks Him. That diligently does it. It doesn't mean I'm going to take one step over here. Oh, the Lord ain't there yet. I'm going to run back. We need to be diligent. We need to continue in it. We need to be continuously trying to seek the Lord. And talking about being diligent. Y'all remember a fellow by the name of Naaman? Over there by 2 Kings chapter 4, chapter 5. He was a leper. He was a Syrian. Long story short, he went unto the prophet Elisha to be healed. And Elisha doesn't even come out there. He kind of insults the fellow. I tell you, our pride gets in the way of a lot of blessings sometimes. Naaman was expecting Elisha to come out with a big pomp, a big show, do some clapping and things rising off of arms and whatnot. And all Elijah does is write a letter, sends a boy out there to give him a note. And Naaman says, what's up with this? I'm Naaman. Certainly I thought he's going to call on the Lord, big thunder cloud going to come down. You know, sometimes we look for big things to happen. Oh, well, he didn't get loud. He must not preach. Or he got loud, he did preach. Whoa, he went woo-hoo four times. That must have been some really good preaching. That don't make preaching. Spirit of the Lord makes preaching. Now, I tell you, sometimes I get excited because of the Spirit of the Lord, and I may do a woo-hoo or something like that, but that doesn't make the preaching. I'm just trying not to quench the Spirit, because if I don't do that, you're not going to understand anything else I say, because I'll be talking so fast. But anyway, he was looking for something great, something miraculous. And all Elijah does is he says, you go and you go and you dip in Jordan 7 times. And Naaman says, man, we got all them rivers back in Syria. We got the Dumain, the Sassafras, the this, the that. He says, they're all greater than this Jordan River, this little mud hole over here. It dries up half the year. How am I going to get clean out of that? And he goes off and he's mad. And his servants say, look, if he had told you to do something great, if he told you to walk in that cave and kill 4 lions, climb up that hill, if he had told you something that would have gave you notoriety, you'd have went in and did that. But all you got to do is take a bath in the Jordan 7 times, you're going to be cleansed. And they got some act right in him. They converted the brother. And he went over there. That's important, some good counsel. Be around good brethren. Be around good friends. People who are going to edify you. But he went over there, and here's the point I want to make. He went over there, and he dipped in that Jordan 1 time. You know what happened whenever he came out of that Jordan the first time? He was still a leper, brother. Yeah. You know what happened when he went down to Jordan the second time? He came out, he's still a leper. Third time came out, still a leper. Sixth time came out, still a leper. What I want you to understand, a lot of times we think, and I've done this a lot in my ministry, I think just because I started something, that's when the Lord needs to start blessing me. Y'all ever been like that? Lord, I started seeking you. Where you at? I do that all the time. Lord, we started praying. Show us now. Well, the Lord must not be in this. He must not want us to do that. No, just continue. Just continue. You know, there's been so many things in my life that we really don't know. I mean, we start getting discouraged. We really don't know if we're on the first dip, if we're on the second dip, if we're on the third dip. But then we've been looking for a pastor for 2 years. Well, you might be on your sixth dip. You know, don't give in to fear. You know what fear is? It's a motivator to do stupid things. And, I mean, it really is. Was gator hunting, alligator hunting, last week. And I'm from Louisiana, and the only time I've ever been alligator hunting, we tie a rope out of a tree with a piece of chicken on it. Gator comes up, jumps at night, swallows it, and he tries to get off the hook all night, so by the time we get to him, he's pretty tired. Well, I went alligator hunting in Mississippi because my sister got drawn for some permits. And that's where she lives. And they got to do it a whole different way. You got to snag him with a rod and reel. And you got to reel him in then. And you got to have him secured with a noose before you can shoot him. So, I mean, there's no easy way around it. And this is the scariest one I've ever been. I killed a lot of alligators, but I got scared. I'm really going to tell you. Because we were chasing this little 7-footer. And we'd throw it at him, and he'd run off. We'd throw at him, he'd run off. And then we got over here. And then finally I looked over there and said, oh, there's a head. We threw at him. And we got him. And he went on there. We didn't get to see how big he was. An hour and a half later, after letting him run, and we catch up with him, letting him run, we catch up with him. An hour and a half later, he gets up under the boat. Anyway, we stick him in with a gig, and he comes up. And whenever he comes up, we're thinking we're dealing with an 8-foot gator. What a lot of people don't understand, whenever you talk about length of a gator, whenever you get to about 8 foot, every foot they are longer is about how many feet they are wider. You understand what I'm saying? So if he's a foot taller, he's a foot wider. And that's a big beast. A big one. So anyway, he floats up. We think we're dealing with an 8-foot gator. And it's an 11.5-foot alligator. And that thing is that wide. Maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but that's how it looks to me. All right, I'm just going to be honest with you. But my point is how fear is a motivator. I've been doing this since I was 5 years old. That's no exaggeration. I got pictures sitting on a 11-foot alligator when I'm 5 years old going, yeehaw. Of course, he was dead. But I'm saying, this is something I'm familiar with. And whenever he floated up like that, all of us, because it's different. You don't have a hook in his stomach to, with a rope dictating what he does. You got 85-pound test riding real line, just hoping it don't break, and him jumping the boat with you. So he floats up, and every one of us, we all go, whoa. And we got scared. And we started yelling at each other, and we started doing stupid things. We couldn't find bullets. People was getting mad. I mean, it wasn't good. And finally, I was like, shut up. Let's figure out what we need to do. What I'm saying, being scared could have made us do something very stupid. It really could have. And in my spiritual life, I seen some sisters smiling. My mama, if she gets a tape of this, she's going to wash my mouth out with soap. She said, you can't say stupid from behind the pulpit. And I'm not supposed to say shut up from behind the pulpit. Y'all don't call my mama, please. I'm in trouble. So, but in my spiritual life, I've done things that wasn't so smart, let's put it like that, because of fear. I know I need to do this, but you know what, Brother Wynn? If I do this and this over here is going to happen, well, how do I know that? Why don't I just have faith? You know what? If we don't call this pastor right now, you know what's going to happen? Somebody else is going to call him. Well, maybe somebody else does need to call him. A lot of times we don't know what we need. Oh, we need this guy. He's got a wife and three kids, and he's been in the ministry 20 years, but he's 30 years old. I mean that's kind of the stuff we're looking for, is it not? We want a young man that's got a bunch of experience. That ain't going to happen. You know, we want the young families so they can mingle throughout the community. It ain't going to happen like that. You know, we think what we want, but what do we trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our understanding? Or do we put up these things that we think we know what we need? Brothers and sisters, let us not be fearful. Let us depend upon the Lord who loved us so much that He sent His Son. And what that means is He clothed Himself in a human body without sin and came down here and when exposed to this sin-cursed earth. Who wants to be here more than they have to be here? But He came down and endured all this for you and I. Let us understand that not only does He love us so much to save us, He loves us so much to answer our prayers. It says, as a father pitieth his children, so doth the Lord pity them that feareth Him. He says, He remembereth our frame that we are dust. He knows we're just dust. He knows we're just a big pile of mud. He'll watch over and protect us. Let us be patient. Let us not fear. And let us always be looking unto the Lord. Thank you for your kind attention, Tom. God bless you.